Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
I recognize that many of us are hurting right now. I recognize that many of us are scared right now. And so I want to be very clear about where everything stands. We are still investigating what happened, but we are quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient and a state that's more safe. That is our pledge, and that's our commitment, and we're going to keep that commitment.
That's the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, and I don't think anything about this accident has to do with the state of Maryland and building a safer Maryland, but I'm not going to tell the governor what to say right there. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. This was a cargo ship that hit a bridge over the Patapsco River. It's known as the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now, living in D.C., as I did for a few years, I traveled back to New Jersey, New York often. This is not the bridge that most people take. Very often they take the tunnels. But it's certainly possible that if you have ever traveled, you've done this. Certainly the people in the Baltimore area take this bridge all the time. The video is stunning because there is this cargo ship. And the power clearly goes out. The lights go out. And then a few seconds later, the lights come back on, but the ship is moving. It's a cargo ship. It's not going to stop on a dime. That's not how any of this works. It's moving again, and then the power goes out again. The lights go off. You can see smoke from the back of the ship. From there, the lights go back on. The ship hits directly into the support column. So it was a bridge that had these columns every 100 or 150 feet. And then it had this span in the middle. And it had two large support columns. You have driven over this type of bridge, no matter who you are, numerous times in your life, going over a river, whatever the case may be. It hits directly into one of these support columns. And almost like a video game, the bridge collapses. The bridge is 1.6 miles long. That is, the totality of the collapse is not 1.6 miles. But the collapse is large. It is frightening. It just fell apart. It simply fell apart. Now, immediately, while we didn't know any information, how in the world does this happen? That question comes out. And one of the things I went to, and many others did as well, is this an act of terrorism? Now, I didn't state it was an act of terrorism, but it is a question I asked. But as with all things, one has to wait for information. One of the things we know is that the vessel, this ship, immediately, as it lost power, started calling out Mayday. They knew they were in trouble. They knew there was an issue. They start broadcasting a Mayday. The roadway where the bridge was had a couple construction workers on it. They actually fell into the water when the bridge collapsed. They were rescued, as I have the reporting. Emergency officials heard the Mayday and were able to stop the vast majority of traffic that would cross over that bridge. Now, this happened at 1:20 in the morning, and you're saying, exactly, how many people are out at 1:20 in the morning? there's a lot of movement still going on in these port cities. This is Baltimore we're talking about. This is the mouth of the harbor. There are billions of dollars worth of goods coming in and out all the time. There's constant trucking going on. There's constant movement. The Mayday allowed Maryland officials, Maryland police and others, to stop traffic. And therefore, what we saw originally, saw as reporting of 20 cars, I've seen as little as 7 cars. I'll wait for tomorrow, really, to get the full details as they're able to properly, now that the sun is up, and be able to look at things. That's how there weren't more people who were injured or killed. All those numbers, of course, will change. Of course, the governor was there speaking about this and was clear about the idea that there certainly seems to be nothing at all that leads to this being thought of as an act of terrorism.
I recognize that many of us are hurting right now. I recognize.
I had a second clip. I can't seem to find it. I apologize. Well, I'm glad for that, but I'll also wait for the investigation. Thank you very much. Because I want to know everything. I want to know this ship. I want to know who was in charge, who was the captain. I want to know the whole story, as do many of us. Senator Van Hollen.
I want to thank the governor, the mayor, county executive, all the people gathered here as part of Team Baltimore and Team Maryland. And the federal government is with them as a partner. The Coast Guard, as we speak, is also part of this mission. Coast Guard cutters, Coast Guard aviation assets. I spoke twice today with Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg has pledged that they will do everything they can to very quickly release emergency response funds for this important project. The National Highway Transportation Administrator is on his way to Baltimore if he's not here already. They will be releasing those early funds once all the parties are fully engaged.
Now, there's been a lot of mention of Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, and I'll say, full disclosure, I don't like the guy at all. I don't like him. I don't like his spouse, Chasten Buttigieg, who I think is despicable on social media. You want to talk about a guy who has done nothing and thinks himself something. And it certainly came to a head for a lot of people when they adopt children, which doesn't bother me at all. And they decide to, not only is Pete Buttigieg going to take a multi-month, break, paternity leave, while there are massive shipping issues that took place during COVID and issues with getting goods into the country. They took a photo with these children of theirs, which I do not deny them, in what looks like a hospital bed, as if they gave birth. It was weird. It was ugly. It was self-aggrandizing nonsense, and I want no part of what I consider to be awful people. For years, I have thought Pete Buttigieg in his political career in South Bend, Indiana, is smarmy. I don't apologize for any of it. I've been proven correct. But I have no idea how he is to blame for this. And I'm already seeing that. I am already seeing that everywhere. That's, look again on Pete Buttigieg's watch. Pete Buttigieg knows nothing about transportation. You have issues with the pilots, with airlines. He doesn't know how to handle that. You have the train derailment in East Palestine. He doesn't know how to handle that. You got shipping issues and issues with the port in Los Angeles and in Long Beach because you refuse to automate those ports because you won't take on the Longshoremen's Union. He doesn't know anything about that. Zero, less than zero. He's got nothing to offer. If a ship has an issue, and calls Mayday. It's a bridge. I don't know how that's his fault. I don't know why we're putting out Pete Buttigieg memes. It's not even a defense of Buttigieg. It's just, it's irrational, and I'm not interested. And the whole thing sucks when we get irrational. What is not irrational, and I want to go back to it, was my thinking, your thinking, was this an act of terrorism? That's not irrational. It's not irrational because our ability to trust in the institutions that we have set up to, quote unquote, keep us safe is very real. We have stated for years now that the southern border is the biggest story in America. The issues, the problems, we've documented, we've had the discussions, I've been to the border, we have reported back. Why is it hard to think, why is it hard to fathom that this could be somehow connected? Why is it hard to fathom when I have Chinese spies connected to Congressman Eric Swalwell, to Senator Dianne Feinstein, that infiltration isn't possible? Why would it be hard to believe that a ship that is flagged to Singapore, and I'm not going trying to attack Singapore here, that is not my argument. Why in the world would it be hard for me to believe that something like this could be an act of terrorism? The answer is, it's not hard to believe. It is actually quite easy to believe. Just like it is easy to understand, once you allow yourself to, that capitalism, the American way of life, is perilous. It is delicate. The country is strong, used to be stronger, but it is held together by a value system that hangs by a thread. Authoritarianism, that has meat. Liberty? Ooh, that is easy to pluck away at. Why would it be hard to believe that people would say, wait a second, they don't trust that the country will keep them safe? They don't trust that the institutions would tell them what's going on anyway. I'm not running out there with conspiracy theories. I have no interest. It's not how I work. It's not how I roll. But certainly, I'm not going to lie that it popped into my head. More data is required. And you're not crazy for it popping into your head. More data is required. Right now, this looks like an accident. But I would advise you to take out a map. If you just put it into a search, map of Baltimore, and you start like honing in on where this bridge is, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you will note that the Francis Scott Key Bridge is the first bridge to the mouth there of the Port of Baltimore. This collapse cuts off the Port of Baltimore, which as of right now has stopped vessel traffic. Nothing's getting in. Nothing is getting out. Which means that if you're trying to get your goods into a port, to get through customs, to get to you, to get from another part of the country, that's not happening. That's not happening. Which means you're not going to get the products you need, which means that the products that you need, the cost will go up. Why are we talking about this story? Because this story is a story that connects all of us. And certainly, I only hope there is no loss of life in this disaster. I'm Tony Katz. CEO of Boeing is set to resign. He's waiting till the end of the year. I don't even know how that's allowed. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Back from Vegas. I'll discuss Vegas a little bit later. We've got a problem in America. We really do. And it is not gambling. Although America really loves to gamble. The problem is much deeper than that. Tony Katz, that's me. Tony Katz today, that's the show, in case you didn't hear me the first time. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. The CEO is going to resign. All the issues Boeing has, the doors fall off, the windows are blowing out, there are missing bolts. The question is, how does Boeing fix this in any way? What hasn't happened is we haven't seen some mass stoppage in flights. People aren't like, forget it, I'm not flying, I'm not going to see Mima. I've gotten on a plane. International flights, domestic flights. I'm off again next week. It's thank goodness, the last travel I have for months. I even put an end. Like I told the family, we're not doing a summer vacation this year. No. It's radio money, and the answer is no. It just isn't gonna. Hope you enjoy the staycation, and we don't have a pool. I will just throw water balloons at you. That will have to do. That will have to be enough. No. There's only so much. Kids going to college. It's all we talked about not going, but it's the right thing. I'm not gonna say where. I'm not gonna get into any of that just yet. You know it as well as I do. You have to focus. There is sacrifice. You can't have it all. And I got to admit, it's not like it's the end of the world sacrifice. But not doing a summer vacation, I like to get away like anybody else. But I've been doing a lot of travel this last month. The Israel thing was a surprise, but Vegas was on the calendar. This trip that I'm doing next week was on the calendar. So that'll be now three flights or six total. No, wait, I did a connection. Eight total. Nope, I'll be doing connections at 10. 10 total. 10 flights. So I've got basically four more to do because I've got a connection for this next one. I'm thinking about whether or not the plane's going to fall out of the sky every second. Every second. I'm like, do I need to bring a wrench with me? Am I fully prepared? I'm not the only one, yet somehow people are still flying. I'm still flying. I'm still going. But Boeing has failed here. And we should be clear, it's awful. You don't want this American manufacturer to fail and everyone go, hey, Airbus, France, we can have a croissant and we'll order 42 planes. That's not what you want. It's a real issue. It's going to have... could have massive effects economically. And so, yes, you got to get rid of people. You got to get rid of people at the top. And to the extent which any of the wokeness affected their making of plans, right? They were more focused on the diversity this and the DEI that. I don't care who's running the company as long as they are capable. I don't care who builds the planes, as long as they actually go back and make sure that the bolts are tightened. If there is a lubricant needed for the doors, it shouldn't be, oh, we're out of lubricant. Okay, grab the Dawn soap and use that, which happened. The audit showed it. I think maybe the bigger question is what gets you to this place? And if it's Boeing, who else is it? And if it's planes, is it also cars? When we finally get some reporting back about this ship that hit the bridge in Maryland and caused the bridge collapse. I mean, is this going to go into the same category? No, that's me trying to forward think. I can't. I've got to wait for the data. The data on Boeing is clear. Getting rid of the CEO is the right move. You might need to get rid of a couple other people. And just be focused on building planes. Oh, and stop trying to make the Max, Boeing Max work. That doesn't work. Put that to bed. Move on to the next thing. This is Tony Katz today.
You mentioned the cash you had. You said on Friday it's something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign?
Yeah.
You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option.
Trump is Trump. And ain't nothing going to change about that, except for how much he's worth. Tony Katz today, Trump Media and Technology Group, joining the NASDAQ, the ticker symbol DJT, that's what he used for the hotel and casinos. It has now added somewhere between $4 and $6 billion to his worth. So, yeah, that happened, which is going to infuriate the political left. How dare this guy make any money? Don't everybody know that he's a criminal? Guys, just because you're desperate for something to happen doesn't mean that the rest of the country is, or that he can't go about his business. Just so we're all perfectly clear. And so it was released, it went public, it jumped, and then the shares got halted because of volatility. It might all go to crap tomorrow. I don't know. You don't know? No one knows. Right now, this is where it's at. And Trump is now got a chance to keep all the properties because a court agreed to bring the bond judgment down to $175 million. The bond has to do with a fraud judgment from a court in New York. This is the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, who went after Trump. Who ran on going after Trump. Look what he did. Fraudulent this, fraudulent that. What is the fraud that's alleged? Well, he inflated the value of his properties to get favorable loans with banks. The issue here, of course, is that the banks gave the loan. You have worked with the bank before. Has the bank ever just given you money without checking collateral? Without asking you what the value is? Now, I'm not going to ask you if you ever inflated the value a little bit. I'm going to ask you, do you think the bank did their due diligence and checked the value of the property? If they did, I don't know what the crime is. And if they didn't, they're morons and I don't know what the crime is. This is exactly the point regarding this case. Trump borrowed the money. He paid back the money. What's the issue? The answer is there isn't one, except Letitia James and this judge, Engoron. They said, well, this is clearly unacceptable, $454 million. Well, Trump can't get a bond for $454 million because nobody will write a $454 million bond. So this has Letitia James saying, well, if you can't write the bond, I guess we'll just have to, take his hotels. We'll take this building and we'll take a hotel and we'll take that. And isn't that just awesome? We'll take all his property and he'll be left with nothing. I use that because I didn't actually have at the ready. I'm going to need that. Producer Jason, if you could find that, I'm going to need some laugh like that, like one of those. That is my Letitia James in impression. There's nothing that would make the left happier than seeing the Trump name come off of Trump Tower. Oh, a sexual experience for those people. It would mean so much to them, they would smoke a cigarette afterwards. Like, that would be them. All over what? Trump paying back a loan. It's madness. Now, the second part of this has to do with the fact that the political left does not believe that Donald Trump is entitled to a defense. Now, let us be clear about something. I did not say you had to like Donald Trump. I will tell you again what I have said before. We could have had DeSantis. But here we are. So can we all just grow up, please? Why am I never Trump? Because never Trump is ridiculous. And also, after the first 4 years, why would anybody be? Some of these people walked into the 2016 election, never Trump. They didn't look at results and say, well, wait a second. And not all the results were perfect. Way too much spending. But you didn't look at results and say, wait a second, there's something here. You can't now argue that he's a clear choice compared to Joe Biden, if Joe Biden would be the nominee. That argument doesn't work. Oh, no, no, no. January 6th. You're going to take the word of Liz Cheney, who had one of the most conservative records out there, and the idea of January 6th broke her. She couldn't recognize the difference between a riot and an insurrection. A January 6th committee that was put together by a Hollywood showrunner that then had a committee that destroyed evidence so no one could ask questions. There was no rebuttal. There was no counterargument. There was no, hey, what about this piece of information? No looking at the series of things that possibly led up to this where security lapses took place. And I'm not even saying that everybody involved in January 6th is someone who should be pardoned. That's not my language. But Liz Cheney got broken. Adam Kinzinger, these are not patriots. If they had said, I don't like the guy, I think what he did was terrible, and I think he should have moved faster to protect the vice president, that would have been fine. You know who said that? I did! Of course he should have moved to protect the vice president. I don't care if he was angry with Mike Pence or not. I don't give a damn about his feelings. I care that he does the job. I've only ever cared that he does the job. This is all of these politicos are solely and exclusively utilitarian to me. Do the job I need done, then go live your life and get me somebody else so I can lead my life without being bothered. You think my vote for Trump is about something personal? I vote for who's going to give me the best life. This is solely about me. For the record, I don't give a damn about Donald Trump's personality, and I don't give a damn about his feelings. Could not care less. Couldn't. It would be impossible, because none of those things matter. But I can equally notice when a guy is clearly getting abused. And I do think for a lot of people that abuse has them saying, I'm in for this. I'm down. I'm gonna support this guy. What's happening here is nonsense. And every time Trump uses some of these arguments about election interference, I think it helps him.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you at 40 Wall Street. And we appreciate you have a lot of press outside. And I think we're going to start before a lot of them come in, which frankly always makes me happy. So a lot of things happened today. This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference.
I think a lot of people agree with that. When you take a look at this case and this bond thing. And so they're being supportive. But the left can't believe that Donald Trump is entitled to a defense. They cannot believe that he looks at this judgment of $454 million and he says, we should appeal this. The left can't accept this. How dare he? Who does he think he is? He's going to, what does he think? He has rights? So when we now get into the conversation of exactly how bloodthirsty the political left is, the proof is there. And again, I believe that helps in great detail Donald Trump. They cannot believe that he would go and appeal and find, if you will, a court that would say, yeah, you know what? If you were to pay us $175 million, if you were to put up a $175 million bond, not pay us, but put up a $175 million bond, that would be good. That'll work. So it went from 454 to 175. The bond was due yesterday. The court said this yesterday. All right, you get a $175 million bond. Do it within 10 days. We got it covered. And Trump's like, yeah, I can get that done. I can get that done. The left is apoplectic. The part that needs to be focused on is the left being apoplectic. The left losing their mind. Because the conversation, if you think it is about Trump, and it is not. It is not. It is about the idea that they believe that certain people should not be allowed a defense. Certain people should not be allowed to use the system. They shouldn't be allowed to find a way. They shouldn't be allowed to appeal. They shouldn't be allowed to question. They shouldn't be allowed to delay when they don't want the delay. Or they should be forced to delay when they do want the delay. The line that works best for Trump, the clear winner is, if they can do this to me, they can do this to anybody. When Trump talks about election interference, I think it works for him. When Trump delivers that line, I think it is devastating for the left, and it is the thing that most connects people to him. This idea that if they can do it to him, they could do it to anybody. So we got to help him stop what's happening to him. So I'll gladly give a donation. I don't care if it pays his legal bills or not. Don't give a you know what. This is nuts. I don't see how we're not agreeing with the truth of that. Remember that this is not about paying less money in some judgment. This is about anger from the left that the political right would actually fight them. And the belief that they hold that the political right shouldn't be allowed to fight back. So what do they want to do? Pack the court. What do they want to do? Tell us that the Constitution is old and antiquated and has no value. Once you see it play out, you really get an understanding that we're not talking about two different political parties. And can we put in away the idea of the uniparty thing? That makes me laugh out loud. It's very different stuff. And even if you want to take it away from party, it is true of people. There are those of us who want to be free and want the Liberty Society. And then there are those who want us to be under their boot. It's not because I say so. It's because they do. And all we did was notice. I'm Tony Katz. This terrorist attack in Moscow seems to have come and gone off the front pages. You have 137 people who were killed by ISIS-K, an offshoot of ISIS, except you have Vladimir Putin saying it wasn't ISIS, it was Ukraine. It was Vladimir Zelensky, it was Kyiv. You have Zelensky, Ukraine, saying, we don't have enough people to fight the war that you started with us. We certainly don't have the people to send as some kind of terrorist group to kill Russians willy-nilly at a concert hall. ISIS then stands up and says, we said it was us. And Vladimir Putin says, these Ukrainians, this is just like them. And Ukraine says, it wasn't us. And ISIS stands on the table and says, will anybody please pay attention? We did this. Why won't you give us credit? That's basically where we're at. Except Vladimir Putin said, okay, all right, it was ISIS, but they were hired by Vladimir Zelensky in Kyiv. You see, he hired ISIS and Ukraine's like, with what money? The Americans stopped writing checks. And ISIS is saying, we are not for hire. We are not independent contractors. This is our one gig. Huh. 137 people were murdered. This is not small. This is a massive. And I think for a lot of people, it's a little bit of how in the world does ISIS work in Russia? Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. The argument is that this group, ISIS-K, which has to do with regionality, what geographic area they come from, they would see Russia as an oppressor. And you're like, I don't understand. Of Muslim groups, which is, of course, true, just like the Chinese are. We've seen what they've done to the Uyghur Muslims. And the only people who seem to care about the Uyghur Muslims are the people in America on the political right, because the political left doesn't give a damn what happens to the Uyghur Muslims as long as LeBron James can make a couple bucks off the Chinese playing basketball. Could not care less. So this group, which exists in the Caucasus, talking about the Caucasus Mountains, that whole area, they have the ability to grab weapons and they have the ability to do damage. This took place in 2002 with Chechen militants, and then. For those of you who remember 2004, the school in Beslan, 330 were killed. Half of those were children. That was a horrifying attack. We should not have short-term memories here. It was ISIS. I very much doubt they were hired by Ukraine. But it's not going to stop Vladimir Putin from saying what he says. But remember, he's a KGB agent at heart. And all KGB agents lie, because all communists lie all the time. This is Tony Katz today.